Philippians chapter 2, verses 19 through 30. And as we look at this passage tonight, I've entitled the message, Better Messengers. Better Messengers. You know, as your pastor and the pastor of this church, I have felt for some time a heavy burden for a need of a new pastor. And now that God has provided Pastor Tweedy to come and pastor this church, I'm greatly relieved. Greatly relieved. In our text, the Apostle Paul was carrying a burden as well. He was in prison, and he needed a messenger that he could send to the church of Philippi to take a message to them from him. And he also had needs that only a messenger could meet for him. And so we find here two men mentioned here, Timothy and Epaphroditus. And they were not perfect, but they were faithful. Faithful messengers. And this evening I want us to highlight some of the ways that we can be better messengers for the Lord. Better messengers for the Lord. Notice with me, first of all, Timothy. Timothy was a messenger for Paul. And we're going to see here in a moment that Epaphroditus was a messenger to Paul. But Timothy was a messenger for Paul, verses 19 to 24. And because Paul was in prison, he could not personally visit the church there in Philippi. And for that reason, Paul was desiring to send Timothy to visit the church on his behalf. Now, that was a big responsibility. Timothy was much younger than Paul. He calls him his son. He refers to him as a young man. And it seems, you know, we don't know how old he was. When he first joined Paul, remember, Timothy was from Lystra, where Paul had been stoned. And he was just a young man when he joined Paul in his missionary work. But Paul says here, first of all, of him, look at verse number 20 or 19 again. He said that he wants to send Timothy unto them shortly. And in verse 20, he says, "For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state." He called Timothy a like-minded messenger. He was driven by the same motives and desires and character as the Apostle Paul. You know, when you look at Paul's life, I don't know of anybody in the Bible that was more God-focused and more faithful to God through thick and thin than Paul. He was a faithful, faithful servant of God. And for Paul to say this of Timothy, to say Timothy is like-minded, he has a mind just like mine. He and I are on the same wavelength. He and I are going in the same direction. What a compliment. To have this great preacher say, this young man is like-minded with me. It's an amazing compliment. And Timothy, he said, was naturally cared for the Philippian believers. You know, that's something that all of us can cultivate in our lives. It's not everyone that has a natural care for others. Some are more prone that way than others. Some of us, you know, we stand back and we don't get too involved in people's lives. Others are, you know, right there, always ready to meet needs and care for them. Timothy was one of these men that really, truly cared for the needs of the Philippian people. Now, Timothy wasn't from Philippi. He was from Lystra, quite a ways away. But he had been with Paul when they're traveling. He'd been there to Philippi several times. He was probably there with him the day that Paul was caught there in Philippi and with Silas and taken to the magistrates and beaten and thrown into the dungeon, bleeding and aching with the pain. And he probably saw all that take place. And Timothy was there when Lydia got saved, and when the jailer got saved, and the church started. He knew them from the beginning, and he had a passionate care for them. You know, that's something that each of us can work at cultivating in our lives, to have a greater care for others. We tend to be quick to care for ourselves, but slow to care for others. And God is challenging us here through Timothy to be this kind of a person. that truly cared from the depths of his heart. It wasn't just something that he was putting on. He really did care. And you know, when you're around a person that you can sense really cares about you, it means a lot. Some people just kind of put on a front and they make it sound like, yeah, we're bosom friends, and yep, yeah, but others, just you can just feel they really love me. They really care. And Timothy was one of those guys. And that's something that we need to strive for. He sought the things of Jesus Christ rather than seeking the things of his own. He was not so busy pursuing his own interests that he didn't have time for others. He really was fulfilling. Remember, we just saw this morning. We looked over the whole chapter this morning up to that point, and we saw how Paul was challenging the Philippian Christians to be like-minded, to be unified, to have a mind like Christ, to become givers like Christ was, and to cultivate their Christian lives and help them cause themselves to grow spiritually. All these things. Paul was saying, you know, he was preaching these things like, you need to do this. And now he says about Timothy, he says, Timothy is a man like me. We're like-minded. He already has that in his heart. Paul didn't preach one thing and do another. He was a man who lived out these things that he was preaching. And he just says, now, Timothy's a man like me. We're like-minded. And so, a great compliment there. He was a man who was like-minded. Timothy evidently could say, Christ, as Paul did, for me to live as Christ, but to die as gain. He was a faithful man. And we see here that he was a faithful messenger. Verse number 22 says, but ye know the proof of him. Right, so he said, you remember Timothy. He's been there with you many times. You know what he's like. You know he's a faithful son. He says, you've proved him, you've examined him, you've watched him. And he says, as a son with a father, he has served with me in the gospel. He said, he's just like my son. And he's been there right at my side all the time. As I served you, he served you. As I've been there preaching, he's been there preaching. We're working together. We're one. We're unified. He's like my son in the Lord. And you've seen this. You've seen the proof of him in all of that. Christian brothers should be like family. And that's what Paul was encouraging here. He says, you've seen how Paul is like my son. We're one in our hearts. And Paul fully trusted young Timothy to do the work of caring for these Christians. So he was willing to say, Timothy is going to come and see you in my place. He's going to be representing me. We have like-mindedness, and he's going to come and visit you. Therefore, Paul was sending him in his own place to do that. And Paul was obviously not able to because he was in prison. And so that was a great compliment. And it ought to be our passion to be messengers for the Lord that are like-minded with Paul and faithful like Timothy. That's a challenge. To be like-minded like Paul, to have a heart for the work of God in the ministry like Paul did, and to be faithful like Timothy was. Someone that could be trusted. Paul didn't wonder, well, I sure hope Timothy doesn't fail me here and lead them astray. No, he says, we're like-minded. He will lead you the same way I'm leading you. And so he was confident in sending Timothy to help him. So Timothy was Paul's messenger sent for Paul. But then we find in the next verse, verse 25, that Epaphroditus was a messenger to Paul. He's a messenger to Paul. Verse number 25. Yet I suppose it necessary to send it to you, Epaphroditus, my brother, and companion in labor, and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants. All right, now, let's take a look at this. The Philippian church had gathered together probably finances and supplies, and they determined to send them to Paul. Paul was their dear friend and their church's founder. And they said, we're going to send a gift to Paul. He's in prison. And in prison, nobody cares for the prisoners except his friends. So we're going to care for him. We're going to send him some supplies, send him some food, send him some money, help him out in any way we can. And we're going to send that with Epaphroditus to take that. So Epaphroditus was one of the people there in the church at Philippi, and he was the one carrying this supplies to Paul there in prison in Rome. All right, so that's the situation we have. And notice how Paul describes him. Paul, first of all, calls him his brother. Now, Epaphroditus wasn't his physical brother, but he was referred to him as his brother. Obviously, a spiritual brother. And Christian brothers should be like family. We need to be like that. That ought to be, brothers confide in each other. Brothers encourage one another. They stick together. They fellowship together. They live in harmony. They support each other. We need that kind of brotherly companionship in a congregation. And I'm very grateful. Our church is pretty good about that, I think. But we need to cultivate that and keep working at that. And so that we're helping each other out. This morning I mentioned some needs that we can help each other. Some of you are helping with transportation that would take Melody and I's place, picking people up. Others can help with giving aid to others in supplying needs there in various ways. It's helping set up. Many of you come and help set up. That's a blessing. You know, once Melody and I are gone, somebody's going to have to do it. It's not going to happen. You're not going to come in and all of a sudden, it's all there. It's not going to happen. You're going to have to pitch in and work at this so you can be like a brother that will help out in those ways. And I believe that our congregation does pretty good at this. But you know, the Apostle Paul also called him a companion in labor. All right, so he was his brother and a companion in labor. Now, he's talking here about his spiritual work companion. It wasn't... there's no indication here. Paul was a tent maker by trade. It doesn't appear that he's talking about a fellow tent maker. It appears that he's talking about a laborer in the gospel, a companion in the labor. And so he was working together. The Lord's work is too big for just one person. And it's something we've got to work together at. And so here was a companion. You know, you think about some of the examples in Scripture. What did Jesus do to help him as far as companions in labor? He called 12 disciples. He trained them so that they could be his companions in labor to help him with the spread of the gospel. And then the early church. Remember when there was a conflict there in Acts chapter 6, and the preachers were saying, listen, we can't keep stopping our studies and prayer to go helping all these widows that need help. They said, yes, they do need help, but we can't keep stopping our work to do that. So what did they do? They elected 6 deacons to do that. All right. So they chose those men to help in the church in that way. Then also, you find in Acts chapter 13, the Spirit of God spoke to the church of Antioch and said, it's time to send out missionaries to the world. And there was men there that they were evaluating, and they chose Paul and Barnabas, and they said, all right, we're going to send you guys out. You're going to go out into Turkey and Asia Minor and on up into that area and preach the gospel. And so they sent them out. So they were fellow laborers to the church. So all of us can be involved in these kind of things. And Paul instructed young Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2, he said, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Now that's an important verse. He said, Timothy, I want you to teach the young men to do the same things that you're doing so they can carry the gospel. It's a multiplication thing. And so we need to be looking for opportunities. You know, God has not left us here in this world just to take a place and warm a chair on Sunday morning. He wants us to get involved. He wants us to get involved in spreading the gospel. My heart was warmed when I was talking to Pastor Paul when he was here visiting with us. And I've mentioned also already, and Pastor Paul, I'm sure, will mention this frequently, but one of his good friends in Bible college was our missionary, Emmanuel Otute. And Brother Otute was there in Bible college with him, and they became good friends. And he said that when Brother Otute, he was here in Australia studying for his doctorate degree in some business. And the Lord got a hold of his heart there at Northside Baptist Church in Adelaide and challenged him with the need of going back to his people and preaching the gospel. And he gave up his work and went back as a preacher. And his family isn't really happy with him. Some of his family is pretty upset with him because they wanted him to come back there and make a lot of money and be able to help them financially. And now he's going back there as a preacher. But you know, that's what God wants. That's what life is all about. Life is not about what we can get and what we can earn and what we can make, but it's about serving the Lord. And if God speaks to your heart about serving him on the mission field or serving him some other way, we need to make sure that we don't put other things first, because that's more important than anything else of serving God. So here's a man who was faithful as a companion in labor. Then Paul says he's also my faithful soldier. Faithful soldier. Now, they weren't in a military army together, so they were obviously talking about spiritual battles. They were battle companions in the spiritual battles of the ministry. You know, this his help encouraged Paul. His help there, they defended each other. They prayed for each other. They protected each other. They suffered together through thick and thin. They were fellow soldiers for the gospel. He was there with him. Now, it's very likely, from what we can see, it's very likely that Epaphroditus was the preacher at Philippi. And so he left the church there in the hands of some of the lay people, and he went to visit Paul in prison. And they're fellow soldiers. They're in this battle together. And they were fighting the battle against the devil together. You know, the devil is against us in so many ways. From the very beginning, Satan has opposed the work of God. You think back through the Bible. I just had a Bible quiz. Some of the men in the Bible and people in the Bible that faced the devil's opposition. Start way back in the very beginning. Cain killed Abel. Joseph's brothers hated his righteousness. Pharaoh killed the babies of Egypt. Korah rebelled against Moses. Ahab hunted Elijah. The enemies sent Daniel to the den of lions. Hateful Jews crucified Jesus. Herod beheaded James. The Catholic Church, down through the Dark Ages, murdered an estimated 50 million Christians for their faith in Christ, because they stood for the Bible instead of the Catholic Church. It's tragic. But that's nothing new. It's all down through history. There's been opposition to the things of God. Opposition and criticism and strife and persecution often accompany the work of God. And Paul said here, this man, Epaphroditus, is my fellow soldier. We're in this together. Remember what Paul wrote in 2 Timothy 3:12? He said there, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. If we're going to live godly, we're going to face persecution. If you want to avoid persecution, just don't worry about living godly. Just live like everybody else, and you won't suffer persecution. But God says, no, he wants us to live godly. Now, Paul goes on. He says Epaphroditus was his brother, his companion in labor, his fellow soldier. But he says he's your messenger. He's your messenger, the messenger from the church of Philippi. He says, your messenger. And he's come to minister to me. It's interesting. I looked up the word messenger there. It's found 81 times in the New Testament. 78 of those 81 times it is translated apostle. Pretty interesting. So the idea of this word is to be an apostle, a sent one. And he calls him here, your messenger, the one you sent to care for my needs. So here he has been sent from the church of Philippi. Whether he was actually the pastor, which I think he was, but I can't prove it. Whether he was actually the pastor or he was just someone chosen from the church and sent to help Paul. But he was a sent one to care for Paul, to meet the needs there, to be a blessing. He was probably sent with a message, a greetings from the church. You know, maybe carrying some letters with him. He was sent with information for them to try to help and encourage them. And so he was sent there to Paul. And we too ought to be quick to share the good news of God's blessings with others. You know, he was sent there to say, you know, the church is doing fine. we're doing okay, we're growing in the Lord, things are going well, and that's what we need. We need to be quick to be sharing blessings. You know, we need to be watching. One of the things that I've mentioned this several times, and it's because I keep meditating on this and I haven't come to a conclusion. The scriptures tell us over and over again that we are to learn to fear God. How do you learn to fear God? Again, this week I was reminded in some of my reading that one of the ways that we learn to fear God is to recount all the things that God has done. And that was another rebuke to me, that I need to write down the blessings and provisions of God in a blessings book. I need to do that. And I'm lazy. I haven't done it. I need to discipline myself to do that. I challenge you. Consider that. Get a booklet, an old diary or something of that nature. What I'm looking for is, years ago I had one that was a kind of a fancy diary that had a little section for each day of the year. It was about 50 mil or so wide, and so there was lots of space to write. And then each year you can use this for several years. And so you just write the date of that year and briefly write the blessing or an answer to prayer or something God did for you. And then the next year when you're back at that same spot, you can say, that's what God did that. And remind yourself of that. We need that. Because that helps us to fear God. Why does it help us fear God? Because it helps us to... Fear is not just terror. Fear is an awe, a respect, and we see God as the great God that He is. I told Melody the other day, we really need to sit down and maybe on our flight or something of that nature, write down as best we can a record of the blessings during this time where God has helped us in so many ways. Of selling our house, selling all the things, giving away things, people helping out, various things. God has met needs again and again and again and again and again. And some just in amazing ways. I told you the one that really stands out in my mind is just amazing. I was fretting and stewing about, you know, that we still had to get rid of our bed and the sofa chairs were sitting out on the porch. I'm thinking, what are we going to do with them? And then the neighbor came over and said, oh, have you sold that bed yet? And, you know, do you want these chairs? I'll take them if you don't want them. And I'm thinking, God knew all along. God met the need. Just shortly after I was praying about it. God met the need. God is good. See, those are the kind of things that will help us to fear God and say, my God is great. And I don't have to be afraid. I can trust Him and I can have awe for Him and respect for Him because He's a great God who always meets our needs. And God doesn't always answer yes. But God is always there to meet our needs. Paul complimented him as the church's minister. And Paul urges the church to honor Epaphroditus for his faithful service. All right, we see that in verse 26 and 27. For he longed after he says, he was full of heaviness because you heard that he had been sick. And Paul said, yes, he was sick, very sick. In fact, he was almost dead. But God had mercy on him, not only on him only, but also on me, because I would have had sorrow upon sorrow if my friend would have died. I would have been greatly grieved at that. So God brought him through that. And then verse 28, he says, and I send him therefore the more carefully with... that when you see him again, you may rejoice that I may be the less sorrowful. All right, so he said, I'm going to send him to you. You can rejoice in him, and I'm glad that he's come back to you because I'm not sorrowful. He didn't die, and he's my friend. He's carrying my message back to you. So Epaphroditus was a blessing, and he says you need to honor him. And he says in verse 29, receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such a one in reputation. Hold him up. Honor him for who he is. He's a preacher of the word. He's been faithful. He's been a blessing to me. He's been a help to you. And he's almost died in his service for the Lord. You need to honor him. And then he tells us there that he is his... In this section here, he's his faithful minister. He's ministering for Paul, going through the hardships, going through the struggles. He's acting as a servant in meeting the needs of Paul there. I kind of skipped myself there back in verse number 25. He first calls him a messenger, then he calls him his minister, and ministering to Paul's wants. And so he was bringing aid to Paul. Not only did he bring information from the church, but he brought things from the church. Money, provisions, food, to help out. And he's ministering to Paul's wants. Paul said, I had needs, and this man is meeting those needs. And another place in the book, he talks about how he had these needs, but the needs were met because they brought them to him. And so here is a man who was used of God to be a help and a blessing to him. You know, when you support your new pastor with your tithes and your offerings, you are participating in the same work. We need to do that, folks. We need to be faithful. Faithfully giving to the Lord. And I've emphasized this a few times, but it's important that we all understand that. And if you're faithfully giving, God bless you for it. But if you're not faithfully giving your tithes and offerings, you need to really take that on board and begin to support the work, because your pastor's going to need that. We need that support coming in to provide for him. The Apostle Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 6, he says, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. What's that mean? He's saying if you're being taught from the scriptures, the one who is teaching you needs to be provided for by you. Alright, so when your pastor comes and he's teaching you the word and he's preaching the gospel to you, you have a responsibility to help him financially in his ministry. And so you take that on board and meet that need. You should also minister to him in words of encouragement. You know, not just financially, but encourage your preacher. It's only a preacher understands what it's like to be discouraged in the work. And sometimes it's very discouraging. And a word of encouragement from one of you to your preacher could be a great blessing to him. Keep that in mind. And when he preaches a sermon that speaks to your heart, tell him. He can't read your mind. If you're sitting there and saying, oh yeah, that was really good, that helped me, well, go tell him. And that'll be a blessing to him. And it's not to pump his ego up so he feels like, you know, he's some great hero, but it encourages him, because many times, Mondays are the preacher's absolute worst day of the week. Because all day Monday he's thinking, oh, I could have said it a little different than I did, and I think I offended that person, and maybe I should have looked at, you know, I didn't really say too much to that person, and maybe they think that I'm ignoring them. And the devil brings all kinds of thoughts to the preacher to discourage him on Monday. My wife can tell you, Monday's the preacher's nightmare day. All right? Encourage your preacher. Be a blessing to him. And thank him. Send him some thank you notes or emails, or compliment him on his qualities. You know, don't be so quick to point out all of his failures. We all have failures. And he probably knows them better than you do. But point out the things that are a blessing. Compliment him. And seek to be a blessing to his family. You know, as we pray even tonight, I have not heard yet back from Pastor Paul, but today was a day that Bianca was due to give birth to her babe. And so let's be praying that God would give her safety and health and that all would go smoothly, and pray for them in this time. And seek to be a blessing to the family. Let them know as often as you can that you faithfully pray for them. That just cheers my heart more than anything. When someone comes up to me that I know is sincere and says, Pastor, I've been praying for you this week. That cheers my heart. And you can do that to your preacher. When Pastor Paul comes, you need to encourage him and pray fervently for him every day and let him know that you're praying for him, and that'll be a big encouragement to him. And then another thing that you guys are really good about, and you know, Sunday night group, I don't really have to preach this to, but be faithful to the services. That encourages the preacher. You know, the preacher prepares just as hard for the Sunday night and Wednesday night as he does for the Sunday morning. And yet, you know, people come Sunday morning and they neglect the others and think, oh, you know, I don't really need to go more than once. But it's there for your benefit. It's there for your food to help you and strengthen you. So be a blessing to the preacher and minister to him in these ways. Look for opportunities to help and to be a blessing to other Christians as well. You know, it's not just the preacher. But we need to look for opportunities to be a help and a blessing to others. And God will use that for an encouragement to others. So, Timothy was a messenger for Paul. Epaphroditus was a messenger to Paul. Both of them were messengers. Both of them were faithful. Both of them were a blessing to the Apostle Paul. And they're both excellent examples for us to follow. And so tonight, I challenge you, think about Timothy, think about Epaphroditus, and ask yourself, how can I learn something from these men that can help me to be more of what God wants me to be? And a better messenger for the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 14 says, even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. Take care of your preacher. Take care of your preacher. Be a blessing to him. Be a help to him.